Canadian Pacific Railway Caboose, number 437349. Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village has no solid order in which you must tour the village, but most visits do begin with the caboose. In here, you can learn all about Pincher Creek's very unique relationship with railways. Why is it unique? Unlike other towns in Western Canada, Pincher Creek's founding predated the arrival of the railway industry by a full generation. Still, despite its size and success, the town remains one of the few prairie settlements that has never had a direct rail connection. The absence was not from lack of trying, as town boosters struggled to bring tracks into the town. Their struggle remains a controversial chapter of local history. Extending from Lethbridge, the Crow's Nest branch of the Canadian Pacific Railway was built through the southwestern corner of the Canadian prairies during the years of 1897 to 1898. By that time, Pincher Creek was 20 years old as a community, with a settled population and established businesses. What's more, some of the town's founders had even secured land in hopes that a looming railway might enhance their speculated property values. CPR was well aware of land speculators and wished to control its own local real estate development to help pay for the construction and operational costs of the line. In that vein, it chose to bypass Pincher Creek and establish a community just 2 miles or 3.2 kilometers away from the main community. That point was dubbed Pincher City, later Pincher Station, as it is known on Highway 3 today. Now, Canadian Pacific, or the CPR, offered state-of-the-art access to market grain, cattle, and other agricultural products. The railroad also improved product offerings for merchants, provided passenger service to the community, and brought new settlers to the gates of the town. Homegrown dray services of teamsters were employed freighting goods between Pincher City and Pincher Creek, and coachmen were engaged by the hotels to ferry their guests to and fro from the train depot. But being bypassed by the railway, physically ignoring the central settlement, was a huge embarrassment to town boosters. Local residents never forgave the CPR for their slight, and an intense rivalry was ignited between the local pioneers and the railway giant. For 20 years following the CPR's arrival to Pincher Station, early civic leaders lobbied to have the company's line rerouted into town. They also approached more than a dozen other rail conglomerates that made tentative plans. These efforts were accompanied by surveys and railway beds even. But all of these efforts fell far short in actually laying steel into the streets of Pincher Creek. Of these initiatives, only the Kootenai and Alberta Railway, the K&A, was successful in actually building and operating a competing line in the area. An 11.8 mile or 19 kilometers route traveled southwest from Kendery Junction, which was just west of Pincher City, connected the CPR main line to the coal fields at Beaver Mines. The K&A was the only non-CPR line that was completed in southwestern Alberta. Efforts to attract other railway companies were cut short by the First World War, when a shortage of iron, economic doldrums, and subsequent changes in transportation needs made the K&A obsolete. Now to talk about the caboose. The unique design and role of the caboose rarely changed in over a century. As the final car on the train, caboose provided a home for traveling train crews, conductors, brakemen, and relief engineers. From the high perch above the normal sight line, trainmen were responsible for monitoring the unit's progress and safety and communicating any issues to the engineer in the locomotive. Spotters could use the rope above that activated a bell system in the locomotive, and the spotters could also impact the braking system on the locomotive, which would alert the engineer to stop the train. The benches converted to beds for the crews to sleep when off duty, with bedding stowed in cabinets beneath the riding perch and tools inside the closets and such for emergency work, such as removing ice from switches. Regular passenger transportation on the CPR's Crow's Nest branch was discontinued, supplanted by automotive transportation in the 1970s. The CPR line is now purely a freight route, and even those operations are rapidly evolving. Caboose 43749 was manufactured in 1946 and donated by the CP Rail to the village in 1990 after its decommissioning from active service. Since that installation, the CPR and other Canadian rail companies have discontinued the use of the caboose on active trains. An entire generation has grown up having never seen a caboose in everyday life, making this display a vital memory to preserve. Corporate markings of the 1970s, such as the Arrow logo, along with the very vivid colored paint schemes, made CPR rolling stock very distinct on railways across North America in the late 20th century. Now to talk a little bit about some of the telegraph equipment. The railroad brought instantaneous communications with the outside world. Telegraph lines accompanied the Crow's Nest branch in 1897, giving southwestern Albertans a way to communicate with faraway relatives and businesses. The station agent sent messages by use of the Morse code, key, and receiver, and decoded telegrams for incoming messages for personal delivery. Even after telephones came into wide usage, the railways continued to operate internal communications by telegraph as late as 1980, though the keys were replaced by sonic and vocal-based instruments, as you can see in this display. So just think of it as texting for another age.